to
follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you live downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Fun three-hour program lined up today. Jeff Seely on the program in 30 minutes. Best bet, PGA stop number two on the year. The American Express begins tomorrow. The great Sal Palantonio, his weekly Wednesday appearance coming up in 1 hour from right now. Who's going to win on Sunday and eventually meet in the Super Bowl? Mike Palm, VP, Circa, in 90 minutes. Dan Leberfeld on the show a little bit later on as well to talk coaching moves, Pauly, which is where we can begin because a lot of stuff, more news today in the National Football League. We'll get to McDaniel taking the Chargers OC job here in a second. But, man, the press conference today from the Buffalo Bills with their owner, Terry Pegula. Brandon Bean was there, the former GM, now president of football operations. Very bizarre. We're going to play some sound bites coming up. I will point out that the current, now odds-on favorite to get the job is Brian Daboll, the former OC who really cooked with Allen a couple years ago. And we heard rumblings that Davis Webb was a name that you wanted to keep an eye on yesterday.
Oh, you're going right to it. Oh, wow. All right. So this is good because it was a bizarre press conference with some interesting quotes, throwing McDermott under the bus repeatedly. And then the new angle is who could the coach be, which just could be an unmitigated disaster. So I know they went 8-8 with Allen in the playoffs, which is unacceptable in what Pegula said and the fact that they couldn't make a Super Bowl. But this angle where there are numerous people in Denver saying they think Webb has a great chance to get this job. He is 30 years old and has never called plays, but he's good friends with Josh Allen.
Well, that has disaster written all over
it. Yes, it does.
That'd be a terrible idea.
Yes.
From the jump. Moving into a new stadium with a team that, in theory, is ready to win a Super Bowl right now with a 30-year-old who has never been even close to something like this and handling a team. By the way, he was 24% yesterday on Kelce to get the job. That has since been dialed back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Daboll stuff went up. He continues to climb a little bit here. Odds on him are getting shorter. Also, like offshore books, he's -115. And now at Kelce and beyond, Davis Webb about 15%, down from 24% yesterday. Who knows? There was some smoke on that yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, no, I'm not sure how much fire to that.
Sure. Well, people in Denver believe it. Then, you know, that could come in. And that would be bizarre with his age and his history and not, you know, having being a coordinator at all.
But they can't hire Davis Webb as the coach.
They could.
I understand that. But that would be...
I know. That would shock the world.
Oh, man.
And it was, but we've seen this in the NBA, though. Steve Nash got a job. Why? Well, the players wanted him to be the head coach. He didn't have experience. You know, Jason Kidd didn't have experience. And look at how J.J. Redick got the Laker job.
Right.
Now, certainly he knows his X and O's, but he was doing a podcast with LeBron.
There
and he
go.
Parlayed that into the coach of the Lakers. So is being best friends with Josh Allen good enough to get the job, even though you're a passing game coordinator?
I cannot imagine a scenario where that would be a thing. It's like Andy Reid retiring, and then Mahomes says, well, hey, by the way, my best friend is also 29 years old. He has no experience, but he's been like the backup to the offensive coordinator, diagramming some plays occasionally for the Steelers, whoever, and why don't we give him a look?
Yeah.
No, huge mistake.
Well, this was a tough look today. So Pegula came out and said he wasn't going to make a change until he walked into the locker room after the game and saw the emotion and how the players reacted. Well, what did you expect? They just lost another tough playoff game again. Well, Josh Allen was sobbing and he didn't even acknowledge when I walked over to him to say it would be okay. I don't know what he was expecting.
Right.
What do you expect in a locker room after a tough loss like that with the controversy and you blew a game handing the Denver 5 turnovers?
Don't you actually want to see that?
Yes, that's what he said.
That the players are upset, taking it very hard, and they're not jumping around like, hey, man, we're not affected by this at all. We're just, you know, tomorrow is Monday. We're going to wake up and you're not feeling anything.
I would have got rid of him with the squib kick and also based on how bad the defense was. But another thing that set Pegula off and Bean was during a meeting, McDermott questioned the roster and the talent, which I actually have his back on that.
Well, this is where everybody has, since the firing, they've gone out and looked. They're like, yeah, this guy has drafted like players who, like two guys, basically, I think, who have made the Pro Bowl. Like, they don't have a lot of talent. And that is that on McDermott or is that on the actual people drafting the talent?
Right.
So then that's where it boils down to what happened today then again.
Yeah.
Because Keon Coleman has been a healthy scratch, and clearly there is some
four times
resentment here, I think,
mm-hmm.
towards taking him, and some, you know, the negativity is pouring through on social media anyway, and I can't imagine what it's like back in Buffalo in that locker room with him throughout the entire year. This is where it got really bizarre today, where they brought up Coleman, and Pegula made it a point to actually have Pegula's back and throw McDermott under the bus.
I'll address the Keon situation. The coaching staff pushed to draft Keon. I'm not saying Brandon wouldn't have drafted him, but he wasn't his next choice. That was Brandon being a team player and taking advice of his coaching staff, who felt strongly about the player. And, you know, he's taken, for some reason, heat over it and not saying a word about it. But I'm here to tell you the true story.
Okay, so first of all, you just made it 10 times worse with Coleman next year. What the hell are you thinking?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the guy, he basically said, I get it, the guy stinks, but it's not because of Brandon Bean.
Yeah, he walked in. I mean, he jumped in there
jumped
and
in.
Answered the question for him. Yeah,
yeah, he said, excuse me, let me talk here for a second.
Yeah, yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, you think?
The other part is that they blamed McDermott for the Cooks drop, which doesn't make any sense. And then time and time again, they pointed out, and Bean even said it, he jumped in and said, we lost the game because of a bad call. No. You had five turnovers. And I love Josh Allen, but he did not play well.
No, he was not great.
You had five turnovers. He had the silly fumble before halftime. He missed Knox wide open for a game-winning touchdown. He didn't play well. You lost the game because of five turnovers, and you still led by four, and you had Knicks backed up on 3rd-and-11, and he found Sutton wide open. That's why you lost the game.
Uh-huh.
So even you can't say, well, we lost because the officials are out to get us, and they blew that bad call. This is unbelievable how they conducted this interview today.
Okay, so then keep that in mind, what Pegula just said, and we just played. Now, great job here by Joel Moran on X. He went back and he's like, oh, yeah? Was that really the case? Because the video we're about to play you was from the 2024 Buffalo Bills official behind-the-scenes video on draft night. And this was Brandon Bean talking about it when they were on the clock.
Basically, when I went to bed that night, I was like, it's Keon unless someone just blows us away. We didn't feel anything was attractive enough for us to pass up on Keon.
All things considered.
All things considered. Just get the guy who's so special.
Yeah. It almost might be obvious, but so tomorrow, we pick it.
We're just going to keep trading more. We're going to get 14 fifths.
Barring someone offering us something stupid, we'll take Keon Coleman.
Did Sean McDermott say one word right there?
No.
He didn't move his mouth.
No.
Lips never even, come on. Busted, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was asked repeatedly, what did Josh Allen think of this move? And he didn't say he was on board and was okay with the firing. He also did say Josh Allen will have input on who the next coach is. Again, hello, Davis Webb plus 450.
Hmm.
Not saying it's going to happen, but I think there's a chance and it's worth pizza money. But that it sounds like Josh Allen wasn't a fan of this. And I know a lot of players in the locker room thought it was ridiculous that he lost his job after this.
Well, as crazy as it might sound for this team in their current situation to hire Davis Webb as their next head coach, if you really want to get nuts, the team interviewed Anthony Lynn today, former Chargers head coach.
Well, we got to talk to a lot of people, so.
I understand that.
Yeah.
You want to take a flyer on him in prediction markets or for them to lose their minds and hire him?
No. You have the Rooney Rule, so.
I would actually take the unproven commodity in Davis Webb over Anthony Lynn any day of the week.
I would do that, too. I know. We've seen how bad Anthony Lynn was. Absolutely. But this was a interesting Q&A they had going back and forth. And a lot of people who were there said they did damage.
Yeah.
They're saying if you're a candidate and you're looking at this, it's. You know, because like Warren Sharp was on with us Monday, and he was surprised that he was shocked that Bean was retained. I said, retained? He got promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And McDermott was let go. So here's the big takeaway, though, is this is what you're up against when you're a head coach. And Mike Florio had a good article on this today, too. Those 3-4 hours while the game is going on and the GM is just having the ear of the owner the whole time, and they can sit and pick apart every move or decision you make. It's just he's got his ear, and he won him over. And Pegula said, "You're the guy, not McDermott, and I'm going to promote you." And then he went. He mentioned the Coleman thing today too.
Well, Bean probably was fearing for his gig.
Sure.
So that would make sense for him to like throw McDermott under the bus the whole time. And
do you agree with McDermott? I don't think this is a good roster. I think it's Josh Allen, Superman.
No, that's That's why I think firing him today or this week actually doesn't make any sense. I don't, like, if you wanted to fire him a couple years ago, like you said, that's fine. The squib kick thing was a disaster.
Yeah.
But for this year to fire him now?
Yeah.
Come on, guys, get realistic here.
Yeah, I don't understand why that set him off. In that last meeting, then McDermott questioned how good the roster was. That's when Pegula and Bean said, okay, that's it.
More popular next year to win the AFC and the Super Bowl, the Buffalo Bills, in terms of a betting standpoint here, or the Los Angeles Chargers. They hired Mike McDaniel, OC.
Love it. I think he did the right thing. I'd rather be the Chargers OC than the Browns head coach. And
the Jets head coach.
Or the Jets head coach.
Or maybe the Raiders head coach.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge upgrade between him and Roman.
I think by default, and you watch what happens to the running game next year.
Creativity.
No doubt about it. It should be a total game changer. And if they can stay healthy on the offensive line, defense comes back mostly intact. With Harbaugh as the head coach, you throw in McDaniel now as the OC. I think we're cooking there with the Chargers. We'll discuss tonight's NBA card coming up. Double-digit favorites are 12-3-1 ATS in the situation since the 2020 season. We'll give you the strange, rare, and profitable angle coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board here on a Wednesday. We played a couple of pieces of audio earlier today from the Buffalo Bills. Well, one anyway, their owner, Terry Pegula, completely threw Sean McDermott under the bus and praised his new president of football operations, Brandon Bean, with the Keon Coleman draft selection. And then we also played a video from draft night when they took Keon Coleman, and it was all Bean who wanted him. And this is a tweet from Mike on X. You can always get in touch with the show at VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Pauly Howard. Mike says it appeared from the video that McDermott was actually the team player, not Bean, and taking Coleman.
Yes.
I think Pegula was confused.
Yes.
Probably. Yeah.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And it was said by a lot of people today that they somehow made this job look, you know, less appealing with Josh Allen.
With Josh Allen moving into a new stadium.
Yeah.
Ah, man.
I wasn't going to make a change until I saw what the reaction in the locker room after the game. I can't believe that.
How does that make you say that I got to get rid of my head coach?
Right. Because of Josh Allen's reaction, which that's how much he cares.
I'm trying
and he knows he let the team down. He didn't play well, and he's sobbing uncontrollably. Oh, he won't acknowledge me when I came over to say it's going to be all right, whatever. It's like, okay, I got to make a coaching change then.
Yeah, I'm trying to connect the dots here. How do you see this happening? Because Allen wasn't the only guy. Again, I mentioned I watched the video of Brandon Cook. Brandon Cook's been with the team for a minute. He was crying after the game. So they are all impacted by it greatly and like, oh, okay, I must get rid of the coach now all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah. It's happened several times in the NBA. Maybe a big part of this is it's Josh Allen's good friend that could get the job. Maybe.
Well,
you never know.
Speaking of that, my apologies for how the Wolves game played out last night. Did you track that game at all?
I did. Well, it's an embarrassment. I mean, come on. There's no Markkanen. There's no Sensabaugh.
Right.
I did say George has got to go off then. I should have been stronger in that. Who else is going to score?
Boy, is that kid good.
But what do you have, 45 in the game?
Yeah.
George was great, and the Timberwolves do what they do, which is blow huge leads.
They had a 12-point lead into the third quarter.
Yeah.
And they lost the game outright in regulation. That was not great. And then the other one.
There was a 7-1 available on the money line.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you another one. I was on Denver last night.
Couldn't believe that either. Watched the whole game.
They were phenomenal for the first half. Killing the Lakers.
First half, I'm thinking, how are the Lakers favored against a good team, and they've struggled so much in the last month or so defensively, right? And then Denver couldn't make a shot in the second half, and the Lakers took over offensively and actually ran them out.
Yeah, they
unbelievable.
They changed the game plan. They blitzed Murray a ton to begin that second half, and that changed things up. And they outscored him. I think it was like 58-36 in the second. I couldn't cover plus three up by 14. NBA's tough. Yeah. Frustrating to bet at times.
71-57 at the half.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
So I'll give you this tonight. Now, how about this? The Knicks now, they are going in a free fall mode since they won the NBA Cup out here.
Oh, yeah.
They've lost 9 of 11. They've also lost, what, 4 straight? How about this from Steve Mackin and VSiN.com? Teams having lost their last 4 games or more have been solid in the rare role of playing as double-digit favorites, which the Knicks are, again, up to 12.5-point favorites tonight. 15-1 straight up, 12-3-1 ATS since the pandemic year. And also the Knicks are 12-0 straight up, 8-3-1 ATS against Brooklyn last 12 games. You want to lay it with a team that's in this rough of shape, though?
Yeah, I think it's a good in-play opportunity, though, too. The thing, I would love the Nets, but the Knicks just had the players-only meeting. I really like the Sixers Saturday. That's their next game on national TV, and the Sixers have owned them this year. But this team can't be laying this number based on how bad they've been defensively and just the negative vibes going on. And is there a trade coming? Can they make a trade? What's going to happen? This is they're out here. They win the cup. They're playing so well. And now Towns has been awful, horrible defense, and they're losing as big. The Dallas game was just a debacle. To be a 12-point favorite and you're down 30 at the half and you're booed off the floor. So This is a big test here, but and now other people are saying this is what Dolan deserves in his face. You went to the conference finals and you fire your coach. This shouldn't happen. To run it back and even address and make your bench better and to lose 9 of 11 and lose to some bad teams, routed in Sacramento, routed by Dallas, struggled to beat Indiana. These are some horrible performances, so there's too much talent on this team.
Do you think
this is going to be big moving forward if they're ever going to get out of this or if they can make a big trade. And I certainly know they have a lot of regrets over what they did with Bridges. To offer all those picks for a guy who wasn't a superstar, which they could certainly use right now to try to acquire Freak, which would have pretty much locked it up if you still had all those picks.
Do you think they have to make a move by the deadline? Do you think they will make a move by the deadline?
They have to if this doesn't change. There's something wrong, and it's maybe they ship out Cat. I don't know, but this is you can't have this. You can't go from conference finals beating the Celtics and being the favorite right there with the Cavs to return to the conference finals, and you were playing so well, and now you can't even win a damn game.
Yeah, I think current roster, fully healthy, to me they can clearly still win the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'd be good enough to make it much more of like a 5-game series against Oklahoma City or maybe like a fully healthy Denver team. That's my thoughts on it.
They just played Detroit and lost by 30.
Right.
So there's some bad voodoo going on right now. And we'll see if the players only meeting helped it. But it's, I can't explain it. It's bizarre what's happened.
You also have the Cavaliers playing at the Hornets. Now they played a month ago, not quite a month ago, but when it was in December, the Cavaliers were 9.5 or 10-point favorites. They lost outright. And so they are the worst team in the NBA at covering numbers. But now they're 3 against the Hornets. Is this too much of an overreaction here to the number?
This I can't explain. Guys are unhappy. They've had injuries, and they're not shooting and playing like they did last year. And maybe they played over their heads last year. Again, they've lost more games already than they did all of last season, sitting there at 24-20. And there's something wrong with the coaching, which maybe there's something wrong with New York, too, with Mike Brown. I don't know. But there's a disconnect with Atkinson. I love this Charlotte team. They're playing well. We mentioned yesterday they're much better than what their record indicates because they're horrible in clutch games.
Right.
So can they sneak in and make the playoffs? Could they catch the Bulls? Someone like that, could there be a key injury? But I love how they just hammered OKC and went into the Lakers in Los Angeles on their home floor and ran them out as well. So vibes are good. Vibes are high. And I could see a lot of points being scored in this one.
Yeah, no doubt. So I want you to listen to some of these numbers from the Pod of the Futures episode that came out last night, and it's available right now wherever you get your podcast. I do it every week with Jonathan Von Tobel. Well, Von Tobel's also very high on Charlotte. I have them over 24.5 wins. I have them 14-1 to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I also have a little nibble on them at like 300-1 to win the division, which not going to happen. But this is JVT's breakdown, and we'll get to some bets on the other side of it, on how good some of the lineups are for Charlotte.
So here's some, you want the numbers really quickly?
Yeah.
So with LaMelo Ball, Con Knipple, and Brandon Miller, just those three on the floor together, they are outscoring opponents by 11.5 points every 100 possessions. That is the 94th percentile of net rating for lineups. Their offensive rating, 130.5 with those three on the floor. That is 130.5 points every 100 possessions with those three guys out there. That is good for the 99th percentile and even better for you. And this sample size is growing too. That's the crazy part. Their most used lineup. So it's those three with Bridges at power forward and Diabate at center. So it's their most used lineup. Their net rating is plus 29.3 and their offensive rating is 140. They're so freaking good. So look, they have weaknesses. We're not asking them to win the finals, but I'm just saying, to your point about, hey, playoffs, getting there, all those sort of things, I think it's very much worth adding at this point right now, even the way it's already been priced, just because I do think this team is much better than what they're given credit for right now.
And shop around. Again, that's from Pot of the Futures out right now. They are as high as 11-1 to make the playoffs, but 4-1 to make the play-in. I think 4-1.
Oh, really?
That's got to be the play, isn't it?
Yeah, they're not catching these other teams. They're six behind Miami and seven behind Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
The team they're going to have to catch is Chicago, because Atlanta's got rid of Trae Young now, and Atlanta's better. Atlanta will get their act together.
Yeah, I think they will too.
But so they're five games in the loss column behind the Bulls. They would have to sneak up there to get in. That would land you in the play-in. Because we're 45 games in right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's the way to attack it, to get in the play-in.
I'll give you this nugget as well from the Oklahoma City game tonight against the Bucks in Milwaukee. Favorites between these two teams, last 14 games. Favorites are 14-0 straight up. They've covered 12 times. Pretty good.
I can't make the case for the Bucks.
Neither can I.
Can't do it.
So it would be the favorite here in Oklahoma City, in my opinion.
It's okay, Giannis. Come out and say it. Just demand the trade already.
Stop, please.
They did have that win on MLK against Atlanta by 2 points, and Atlanta started 0 of 21 from three. I ran down those comments after the Minnesota game from Freak. How dare you boo us? That's not good. I'll boo back. You don't do that. I'm the best player we've ever had, 13 years, whatever. They lost 139-106. I said, keep an eye on the Bucks. Then they went to San Antonio and got blasted. So they needed that awful performance by Atlanta just to survive by two. A lot of tough games coming up as well. It's a total fade brigade.
I don't disagree.
More losses coming.
Nope,
and everything seems to be better now with OKC, and now we're on pace to win 70 games again. If you love the moments that make sports betting unforgettable, don't miss the top 10 most memorable sports betting moments of 2025, hosted by Tim Murray, Tuesday, January 27th, 1 p.m. Eastern. The biggest swings, finishes, and unforgettable tickets. Relive the moments bettors won't stop talking about Tuesday at 1 Eastern, only on VSiN.
Best bets and analysis for the American Express on the PGA Tour next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and any of our great affiliates across the country. It is the second stop on the PGA Tour this year, the American Express. And to join us right now and give out some best bets with analysis is Jeff Seely. You can follow him on X at Cupmaker Jeff. And the Cupmaker podcast is coming up later on tonight with leading golf odds maker over at the Westgate, Jeff Sherman. What's up, pal? How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. Looking forward to another exciting week. This is probably the best, as good or the best American Express field we've ever had. So this is going to be exciting. Finally feels like golf is fully back. We sort of dipped our toe in the water last week. Now when we got Scottie Scheffler playing, it feels like a real event.
And are you attacking it then in the normal market, the winner with Scheffler, or did you look at any of the winner without Scottie?
No, I'm playing winner with Scotty, just because there's a lot of things that, I mean, the courses are so short and so easy there that here that, well, Scotty can certainly win the event. I think it levels the playing field now and brings a lot more players into play. And that's evidenced by the fact that, the last handful of winners have been north of 70-1 or so. So you see long shots come through here a lot. Wouldn't surprise me to see a long shot come through, this week as well. So I'm being pretty conservative, honestly, in my card, and that I'm playing some smaller bets on the outrights and just playing some top 20s along the way, because I think this is going to be a lot of variance this week, and I'm gonna save some of my bigger bets for the farmers coming up here shortly.
All right, fair enough. Let's the shortest shot on the betting menu on the board for this tournament that you want to attack it with is whom?
I'm playing. There's two guys who are both 25-1. I played Russell Henley, who was the first guy I played. Again, just hits his irons very well. Did so last week. His first real tournament in some time was last week. Finished T14 here last year. So just a good price on a guy who thrives on courses where you don't have to bomb it to win. I played him top 20 at plus 110 as well. So I think that should be a pretty easy finish for him, as well as Sam Burns, 25-1. Again, just really good putter, and he's field average and everything else. So John Rahm once famously referred to this event as a putting contest. So I'll take one of the most consistent tee to green guys out there, and maybe the best putter on the PGA Tour. So Sam Burns and Russell Henley are my two guys at 25-1. I'd played, and then I played both of them top 20 at plus 110.
All right, inching into the sweet spot now, with so many guys 50-1 or higher have won this tournament going back. Take us through like the 40-60-1 guys.
You know, guys, this is a really interesting week when you talk about AI versus traditional handicapping. A lot of people are on Siwoo Kim this week, including me, for very good reason. His ball striking's never been in question. Elite ball striker. Putting's always the issue. But this is by far and away his best putting surface, and he has putted really, really well at this event. Something I've never said about Siwoo Kim before. So was a winner here in 2021, comes in with great form, having finished 4th, 3rd, and 11th at his last three events. So I feel like it's a really good AI versus handicapper scenario. AI sims don't like him at all this week. The golf handicapping community seems to love him. I guess we'll see how it shakes out. But I definitely like Siwoo this week. My favorite way to play him is top 20 at plus 140. I played a little bit on the outright as well. And then Alex Noren comes in with great form, having two top 20s and a second-place finish at the Hero in the last 2 months. So while he hasn't murdered it off the tee, he's gained across the board in every other category for the last 2 months and off the tee. So I think it's a really good week to take a look at Alex Noren, another guy who I played top 20 plus 185, along with a little bit on the outright. Hasn't crushed it at this event, but does have a top 25 and a top 20 in only four visits. So I think that he can pretty easily get through a top 20, and I like that good value on that number, I think. And then, guys, maybe this is the Daniel Berger breakthrough week we've been waiting for. Not only after looking great at the RSM, did not look great at the RSM, but looked really good last week at the Sony. Now we get him at an easy event. This should be a shootout. I mean, he should absolutely be licking his chops here. This is likely to bet the last time we're going to see Berger with a 6 in front of his odds outside of majors if he finishes well here again this week. So another great play, top 20. You can find it 2-1, but 60-1 on Berger I think is a good price. I certainly expect him to be at least in the conversation on Sunday. So excited to see how that shakes out.
All right, we're going to get to your bombs coming up in a minute. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Jeff Seely, he's on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on X at Cupmaker Jeff, and the Cupmaker podcast is coming up later on tonight. We're talking about the American Express on the PGA Tour this week. I have to ask this question at the beginning of the year because we'll get it throughout no matter what. But when you, and again, you're going to make the case a lot for top 10s, top 20s, I think more specifically, as usual. But where do you typically like, you can name the books too, where do you typically like to bet the top 20s? Because there is a difference, right? Some will pay out dead heats and others will not. They'll pay out pretty much everybody. So where do you prefer to play like top 20s?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the one place I know that they've adjusted their payouts is at DraftKings, where they pay top 20 in ties included. So that's been a big change for DraftKings over the past, say, 2 years or so. Another like kind of nationwide book that I do like is Bet365. I like them because they have the each way markets, which are very interesting, where you bet a guy to win, but if he doesn't win, he comes in, say, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, or 5th. You get a fraction of your payout accordingly there. So those are, and I, and frankly, DraftKings matchups have stunk. There's a couple of matchups I played on FanDuel today. So I liked some of FanDuel's matchups better than DraftKings. So you really have to shop around and know the rules and various things. I liken it to the NFL props deal, right? Or it's NBA or whatever it is. If you bet some player props on FanDuel and the guy doesn't make it to halftime, you still lose your bet. And other books like DraftKings, they'll at least refine your bet. So it's critically important to know the rules and shop around and pay attention to what you're doing. But I think for if I were just betting one sports book for golf, purely golf, it would be Bet365.
All right. Fair enough. Let's work our way down the board now. A bomb this week that you're considering at 71. Which golfer is it?
Yeah, guys, Pearson Cootie is a guy. He's the 26-year-old, has gained across the board last week en route to a T13 finish and has finished inside the top 30 in six of his last seven events. There's a lot of books out there that you can find top 30s and top 40s, especially just before they tee off. So take a look at those markets because I would highly encourage you to look at a top 30 or top 40 here as well on this guy. There's not a lot to not like here, given the form and that the fact that he played in this event last year. So he didn't do well, but it gave him some experience. I played a little bit on the outright at 70-1 and top 20 at plus 235. And guys, quickly becoming my favorite golfer. He's certainly one of my top five favorite golfers. Is a guy who comes in this tournament ranked number three in iron play over the last 36 events. Number one, Scottie Scheffler. Number two, Siwoo Kim. And number three is Sammy Valimaki, who's 130-1 this week. Last time Sammy Valimaki went out, he won the RSM. He was 18th at Bermuda and second at El Cardinal. So his last three events, he has a win, a second, and an 18th. And yet we find him at 130-1 in a tournament where we know bombs can win. If he can find a spike putter week to go with his irons, he can absolutely win this event. I bet him a little bit on the outright on 130-1. And then I do like him top 20 plus 350. Terrific number on Sammy Valimaki, who's fun to watch. His iron play is spectacular. And I would love to see him make a run this week.
And also, based on what you were just saying, feels like he might be a good bet then for first round leader.
Terrific bet for first round leader. Yeah, I think Cootie and Valimaki are both really good first round leader plays if you're looking to throw a dart that may not get there in the end.
All right, Jeff. Awesome stuff, man. Best of luck this week.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
There you go. Jeff Seeley on the Progressive Guest Line at Cupmaker Jeff on X and the Cupmaker podcast coming a little bit later on tonight with Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate. So Scotty's in it, but again, really the first time for him playing in months in a an event like this, like most of these guys anyway.
$1.20, top five.
Yeah.
Amazing. That is something. So a lot of bombs have cashed in this. Hell of a write-up on VSiN.com today from Wes Reynolds. You can check out his picks and the history of this as well. I retweeted that.
I was listening to a...
job as always.
First of all, the golf podcast here on VSiN every week called Long Shots is terrific. And I highly recommend that you put that in your podcast listening rotation. I was listening to another one. I'll shout out Andy Lack, who was very good on golf, like really, really good. And in his podcast, he was doing a bunch of AI stuff this year, getting ready for the majors and the stuff that he inputted and going back and forth, working for a long time with the AI model that he was working with. Kind of, if I'm not speaking out of turn here, I believe he said it basically shot back that Scottie Scheffler should be around even money to win the Masters. With the stats that he was using and plugging into the system and everything like that. Tiger territory. Yeah. That's officially Tiger territory like that then.
Yeah.
If we're not there already with the guy. So, where could he possibly go this year in events that he's in if he just takes off and starts? What if he starts hot this season?
Mm-hmm.
And where some of those numbers could go. All right, up next, Paulie's going to recap the betting action from last night. Win some, lose some. This cash for the 13th straight game at home last night. Details coming up next.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Hell of a night in the NHL. Eight games, seven of them went over in the first period. And McDavid cashed again. Check your accounts today. Because they changed it after the game. 13 in a row at home, shots on goal over 3.5 for McDavid. After the game, they change it from 3 to 4. So check out your accounts, another winner with McDavid, and we'll have another prop that's on a 21-1 overrun later in the show. Suns, +1 to -2.5. They do it again, beat the Sixers. Jazz money line, 7-1, shock the Wolves. Rocket Spurs under 225.5 down to 220.5. The Lakers +2 to -3. Florida State +525, shock Miami. What happened to Utah State? They were 15-1. They went to Grand Canyon, lay an 8 and lost. And they returned home where they never lose last night, laying 15 and lost by 10 to UNLV. Incredible. UCLA +230, beat Purdue. Akron, Buffalo under, 173-166. Miami, Ohio, Kent State under, 172 down to 167. That's a loose sum. That's no good that they did improve to 20-0 with the win. Champions League soccer, Ajax +650. Glimt, 6-1. Afterwards, Man City players refunded the fans who traveled to the game. They were so bad.
Oh, good for them.
How about that story?
Yeah.
And I know Holland made comments about how pathetic they were, and he apologized. Sporting Lisbon +320 as well. One of my favorite Seinfeld episodes is when he tries to pull off the roommate switch.
Okay.
And they're trying to figure this out, and George comes up with the menage a trois angle, and he bursts through the door and screams, "I got it!" Sitting on it for a bit. I think I got the best Indiana stat out of all of these over the last couple weeks or so. Indiana beat more top 10 teams this year than they had in the history of the program. That one's tough to top.
You got it!
Think about that. That is...
Wow.
That one is...
How
nuts.
Many they beat?
6. How long have they been playing football?
130 years,
yeah,
whatever it is.
Right.
Wow.
That is incredible. Subscribe.
And every year, by the way, a lot of teams in the top 10, top 5 in the Big 10.
A lot of opportunities, yeah. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos, at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in, we'll put you on. We're on a nice run here with the Bulldogs where they love the snow. And this guy comes right out. And is it his backyard? They made a little area for him in the spacious backyard. A little soft landing spot, comes right in and puts face first right in there and just goes down. He doesn't need the slide. He'll do it himself all the way down. That's great.
It almost makes me miss the snow so my dogs could try that once.
Yeah, right. Different than the other guy who's always up on that hill and they're dressing him up every single day and he can't wait to go down. I love that dogs know your routine and they're on your time. The dog waits in front of the gate every day for the owner to come home, and here she did the switcheroo. She came in the other way from the back and surprised him. Look at the look on his face when she goes, "Hey, I'm over here now." As he's waiting at the gate, wagging the tail, and she surprises him on the coming in the other way. There you go. That's awesome. How they always know your routine.
I do this to my little one, Mickey, all the time. And she has no idea where I am. She's also getting older, but it's pretty cool.
That's excellent. One lose, some T-Wolves, 10.5 up to 14. Couldn't even win the damn game. A meltdown in the fourth quarter, like the Spurs, +4.5. Lost by 5 as they got cooked by Houston down the stretch. Before the line moves, the sharp place is already there. January isn't about volume, it's about precision. Limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. He's been with Follow the Money since day one. We love guys like Jeff in the sharp plays, the Mr. Poison tweets, the Duffel Bag Boy tweets. Great AI, connected to proven insider sources. Free reports, alerts, market moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Been at it since 2011. Trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Give them a follow. They are fantastic. Sharpplays.com. I got two for you. Duffel Bag Boy, $360,000 on the Rams, +2.5.
Whoa, hold on here. He's back?
He's back. He was back here in person.
No.
Yeah.
Circa or Vegas?
Vegas. Not Circa. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Vegas.
Is that where he made that bet?
Yeah.
He made the $360,000 on the Rams in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Did he pull up with an actual duffel bag?
He's still been doing his stuff in Atlantic City with the crazy parlays. But I'm sure he showed up in a duffel bag and probably left it at the counter and went to clean up in the bathroom as he's want to do.
You have to follow up on this report then and ask how he has done so far this football season. Because as Sharp Plays has been tweeting out about Mr. Poison for years,
one good
right?
Sport. Yeah, right.
NFL has typically been his one decent sport.
Uh-huh. I will ask. 47 years ago today, a date Vegas will never forget. Black Sunday.
Okay.
Super Bowl
13?
Steelers, Cowboys. Orange Bowl, Miami. Great. There's a great thread that Dave Tooley retweeted. Game opens 2.5. Then all of a sudden the Steeler money comes in and it won't stop. Makes the bookmakers nervous. 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5. Some places got to 5. The Stardust even ran a promotion encouraging bettors, hey, you can lay 3.5 with Pittsburgh or take 4.5 with Dallas. They invited the middle. Vinny Meatballs cashed in on the promotion. I was a break-in dice dealer at the Royal Inn. I laid 3, 3.5, and took the 4.5 for everything I could at the time. Game kicked off. Dallas tight end Jackie Smith dropped a wide-open touchdown. Vern Lundquist. Oh, he's got to be the sickest man in America. And then the 35-17 lead seems safe. Nothing to worry about. 2 Cowboy touchdowns in the final, 227. Final score, Steelers 35, Cowboys 31. Could have laid 2.5 and grabbed 5 on the biggest game and biggest sporting event on the year. Stardust lost 1.6. The Royal Las Vegas lost 700,000. Total estimate down 3 million. 1979, a big deal. Jimmy Vaccaro, the line out the door to cash tickets wouldn't stop. And the house got buried.
Okay, so that clearly is never going to happen today.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what is like $1.2 million to one book back then?
No kidding.
What does that mean today?
Man.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
You imagine if a book would actually do that today?
I think Michael Gaughan ran a promotion like that, too, for one of the Super Bowls, if I remember Vinnie Maggs telling the story.
You can lay 6.5, take 7.5, something like that?
I think he did that for one of the Buffalo Super Bowls. But Stardust did it, and then bam, right in your ear, 4.
What would the example be this year? If we get Rams-Patriots, and a book says you can lay 2.5 with the Rams, take 3.5 with the Patriots, wouldn't you just empty everything in your go both ways?
That's incredible. Man. And this is no in play. There's no props. There's only couple ways to bet the game back then.
Sure, that's it. It almost reminds me again the Frank B story from a couple of months ago on the casino in California that ran the Friday the 13th promo.
Yep,
one of the best stories I've ever heard in my entire life. No hyperbole.
Expecting Frank in a couple weeks. Props and another great story.
Yes. They were going to pay out
right on 13th.
On 13th
blackjack,
and then everybody realized, wait a second here, 13 lands like 14% of the time or whatever.
They're going past people on the highway in the vans with all the professional blackjack.
Right, and like a couple hours before they actually decided, they're like, uh-oh, we're going to get something clicked.
Yeah.
They realized from everybody who showed up and they had no more like black chips left to give out because everybody gobbled them up.
And seats like, are going for $2,000, whatever, $3,000 to sit at the table, yeah.
We need to cancel that promotion. And that's what they did.
That's it. Sorry, folks. That's it.
Yeah. Somebody, if a book tried that today, somebody somewhere would step in and say, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because we will get, it's going to be a wrecking ball, and the lights might actually turn out if it lands on that correct number. It'd be fun for the bettors. Be great.
Wild story.
And if they just, and they, by the way, they had nice limits on it, and they said, we're going to hold it for like a full day.
Doesn't that blow your mind, though, to think back to that move? On a Super Bowl? 2.5 to 5?
Yeah, well, I mean,
those are key numbers.
What was it like back then?
Yeah.
When's the first time you got a whiff of like point spreads and betting? And I used to.
Well, Musburger and Jimmy the Greek.
I can't remember what age this was at, but I mean, every day study hall, like middle school, I would look at the USA Today paper. And that's all I would do.
Yeah, Danny Sheridan's lines and other stuff that was in there. Yeah.
I'd read the sports page and I'd schoolwork. What? Get out of here. What am I going to do with this information later on in my life? Nothing. Sports, I might be able to do something with that. And lucky for me, it actually worked out. But I look at the Sheridan stuff every single day. So, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The great Sal Palantonio on the program coming up next. He hosts the NFL matchup show on ESPN, has for 20-plus years. Based on the two matchups we have on Sunday, who is playing in the Super Bowl? We'll ask him coming up next here on VSiN.